Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You see? You see? Your stupid minds! Stupid! Stupid!
Ha ha! You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease. So I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
From the world-famous Cardiff... Shit. From the world-famous Cardiff Electric Network studios in beautiful downtown Bedabbler City, it's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. Yes, Carl, I could have just edited that out. I chose not to. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medicine provider who gives me street cred, the whack alternative medicine assholes. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
This is a show for people who never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you got a question, you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider. If you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at DrScottWM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything here with a grain of salt and act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your healthcare provider. All right, very good. Please don't forget stuff.drsteve.com, stuff.drsteve.com for all your Amazon shopping needs. Really makes a huge difference, and if you want to do something to support the show, really, that's probably the number one way. stuff.drsteve.com. Check out tweakedaudio.com. Offer code FLUID. It's holiday time for those stocking stuffers. I think that still works. I don't think we get paid anything.
No.
But you still get 33% off, so what the hell? And check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. Tacy and I are back doing Patreon, although she's gone for the next 2 weeks. So I'm going to have to do a live stream by myself, but patreon.com/weirdmedicine. And if you want me to say fluid to your mama, do a cameo, cameo.com/weirdmedicine. I would do them for free. The $5 is just, it's the lowest they'll let me charge. I just like doing them. They're fun to do. And I think Nick Ehlig said that if I did them for free, then I would just get inundated. So I guess that's probably
true.
Better that I'm charge a little bit.
Why?
They actually did a study that showed that
if you charge a dollar to people to come in, you know, make them pay a dollar up front to come into the emergency room, they stop using the ER as a primary care office. Mm-hmm. That's all it takes.
Yeah, no, I know it. I guarantee it.
And something. Anyway. Yep. All right.
All right, guys.
Check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. It's spelled kind of like simplyherballs.net, but with one L lagging. And we do have to issue a correction.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So last week. So when Tacy does topic time, which everybody knows is good.
It's Tacy's time.
Okay, so when Tacy does topic time, she gets mad at me, but I'm always going online and finding the original article that she's talking about because okay. She'll pick up something from CBS or somewhere, this or that, and I'll always look up the journal article, and then we can talk about it. And she's like, well, is this my topic time or yours? It's like, no, it's my show. So, but yeah, it's your topic time, but this is the whole point. So anyway, Tacy last week did a story, and one of us sent it to her, so we are culpable. It was probably me, but it was a journalistic medical, and you know how I feel about medical journalism, article that said that according to a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine, ogling women's breasts is good for a man's health. And we were all like,
great news.
Well, it turns out.
Well, that's because you're an idiot.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's completely false.
Oh, bummer.
So staring at a big-breasted woman is a form of exercise. No wonder Jane Mansfield's husband was Mr. Universe. What an old reference. Does anybody remember Jane Mansfield? I mean, I do, because I jerked off to her constantly when I was a kid. She was sort of the trashy Marilyn Monroe.
Ooh.
With bigger boobs and stuff. But anyway. But according to the text of a purported news article that has circulated online since the 1990s, great news for girls walker. Shit. I can't read English. Great news for girl watchers. Ogling over a woman's breasts is good for a man's health and could add years to his life, medical experts have discovered. According to the New England Journal of Medicine, just 10 minutes of staring at the charms of a well-endowed female is roughly equivalent to a 30-minute aerobics workout, declared gerontologist Dr. Karen Weatherby. So this goes on and on and on, and Tacy reported it as fact, and I didn't look it up because I think I wanted it to be true.
Yes.
I think that's why.
Well, that's because you're an idiot.
Okay, so, So this article referred to was not printed in the New England Journal of Medicine or, in fact, any other major medical journal. It's a reworking of a piece that has run on at least two occasions in the celebrated tabloid, The Weekly World News.
There you go.
So do you remember Weekly World News? I think they're out of business now. At least I haven't seen them in a long time. Really? They used to have the Bat Boy on the cover. And then for a while they got into the news because they had a picture of Bill Clinton meeting at this alien.
Oh, wow.
And they were shaking hands, and alien was talking about how they were going to help mankind and all this stuff. It was just a bunch of crap.
Oh, fun.
So here it is. This is from Weekly World News from 1997 and then reprinted in the year 2000. It was like a comedy. It was a parody of a tabloid newspaper.
Okay.
But they would sell it,
okay,
and people would buy it, and some people bought their bullshit, and unfortunately... apparently I'm one of them. But it says, great news for girl watchers. Ogling a woman's breasts is good for a man's health, can add years to his life. So, yeah. So, here we go. Just 10 minutes of staring at the charms of a well-endowed female, such as Baywatch actress Pamela Lee, is equivalent to a 30-minute aerobics workout. And this is a different gerontologist, declared gerontologist Dr. Franz Epping. Dr. Epping and fellow researchers at three hospitals in Frankfurt, Germany, reached the startling conclusion after comparing the health of 200 male outpatients, half of whom were instructed to look at busty females daily, the other half told to refrain from doing so.
Oh, goodness.
So the study revealed after 5 years, the chest watchers, so they did this for 5 years, had lower blood pressure, slower resting pulse rates, and fewer instances of coronary heart disease. So it's complete horseshit.
Oh.
And yeah.
Well, but it's not bad for you, though. No. So as long as it doesn't hurt you.
That's right. It's like vitamin D.
Yeah, you know.
It probably doesn't do you any good, but it doesn't hurt anything.
But it might. It might.
It says, although Weekly World News occasionally slips up and prints a true story, we suspect this one belongs in the, quote, how to tell if your dog worships Satan, unquote. And oh, this one is true. New remote control device gives women orgasms at up to 80 yards away. That's not a bullshit story.
Oh, gosh.
No, those things are real.
Really?
Yeah, you can buy little vibrating Benoit balls with remote on it, and you can run it up and down. Opie and Anthony did that on their show with, I can't remember if it was Sandy Kane or somebody like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
And they would run the remote up and down. So, huh. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, this has me now wondering what happened to Weekly World News. So we need to be looking that up. If PA Lydia were here, she would have already looked it up. So let's see if they are still.
But to be clear, we're saying it's not harmful.
Correct. Yeah, okay, Weekly World News. It looks like they're online now.
Oh, gosh.
It was a tabloid, published mostly fictional news stories from 1979 to 2007. And, yeah, their final issue was in 2007. They had a circulation of 1.2 million. Let's do Weekly World News, Alien, and Bill Clinton. Because that's a good one. Yeah, this is.
I love it.
Okay. Well, now I went to the wrong place. But apparently the alien was. Helping to guide Bill Clinton to, you know, oh my God, there's the bat child.
I actually do remember.
Remember the bat child?
That bat child, I do. So that was a.
And it says bat child escapes. Oh. And it shows this horrific kid with sharp teeth and big giant bat ears screaming.
Oh, I love it.
Alien in the slammer after fist fight with Bill over Hillary. And it shows Bill Clinton
he's got a black eye or
with
something?
A black eye, yes. And the alien's got his mugshot. Washington, D.C. Police Department.
I love it. I'm about to start reading that.
Alien in the slammer after fist fight with Bill over Hillary. That is hilarious.
Heck, that's about as reliable as some of the other news sources we've got.
Here's another one. Clinton hires a three-breasted intern.
I've never seen
and
it.
Shocked Hillary said, I thought he was a leg man.
Now, I've seen three nipples, but I've never seen three breasts on somebody.
Yeah, there was a porn star that got a boob in the middle.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was popular for a while. Obama appoints Martian ambassador. There he is with the alien. And then flying cats terrorize West Virginia. So, just the best.
I'm going to have to check that thing out.
Oh, yeah. Just check out Weekly World News. Oh, here's the bat boy. Coalition leaders order half-human, half-bite. Or, I'm sorry, I'm an idiot. Coalition leaders order half-human, half-bat to take a bite out of Saddam. And it shows a picture of Saddam Hussein with the bat boy biting his shoulder. And Saddam's got his eyes are real big, like big googly eyes.
Oh, my gosh.
So rest in peace, Weekly World News. And you still effing us up after all this time because we fell for it. And
I
don't
it.
Know how. I knew when she said that this cannot be true. And then there was a part of my brain was saying, I think I've heard this one before. But on the other hand, I was like hoping it were true.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So anyway,
I'm pretty sure
give me some ammo to talk to Tacy about her reduction mammoplasty.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you hadn't had that, then I would have lived longer.
Mm. Jeez, it is her fault, whatever it is.
All right. So that's what do you got? You have something today to talk about, right?
Oh, I do. How you mean
for
thing?
Fuck's sake, yes.
the ganglion nerve block.
Right. So what I saw was a news story that said new treatment for PTSD is effective in veterans, mm-hmm. or in a veteran, and I think it was an N of one, but what they were, I thought it was going to be ketamine, because I'm interested in that, because I'm doing ketamine mm-hmm. therapy myself through a physician. And but no, it wasn't that. It was a thing called a stellate ganglion block. So it said research has been studying the use of stellate ganglion blocks. You want to talk about what a stellate ganglion block is, because you do those, or well, you are involved in them.
Well, I don't do them directly. I do a similar thing with the acupuncture needles and electrical stimulation. The guys that I work with next door, the pain medicine guys, do stellate ganglion nerve blocks. So
where is it?
So it's in the neck. So it's about the sixth cervical vertebra.
Okay.
You know, we have seven. Okay. Most of us have seven cervical vertebra.
Give thyself a bell.
Right. So you know, and you can kind of identify where that seventh cervical vertebra is. If you bend your head forward, there's a little knot that sticks out, the bony knot that sticks out the base of your neck, and that's the seventh cervical vertebra. So one up from there is six. And what you can do is you can go in just beside where the carotid artery is, the carotid artery sheath.
I don't want to stick a needle in that.
You don't want to get too close to that. But just in front of that, you can go in, and what they'll do with a sympathetic ganglion block here is they'll inject a numbing agent right into this ganglion. Dr. Steve, what that ganglion is, like a
collection of nerves.
It's a collection of nerves where the nerves in the brain are coming down and nerves in the body are coming up, and they kind of meet in the middle.
Not everybody has a stellate ganglion. Are you aware of that?
No.
Only 80% of people have.
No, I did not know that.
To have a stellate ganglion, there's two ganglia have to fuse together.
Huh.
80% of people, there's a inferior cervical ganglion. And then there is a first thoracic ganglion, and that will fuse together in about 80% of people, and that is what creates the stellate ganglion. The other 20% just don't have one.
Huh. Yeah. Well, so I wonder if that would be a little harder to identify that ganglion. Yep. But what a lot of times we'll use a ganglion block, and it doesn't. And you can, there are ganglions up and down your spine, so you can actually do ganglions blocks at different levels.
Sure.
So in other words, what they started researching this specifically for a thing called CRPS, which is chronic regional pain syndrome.
Correct.
You know, which you've heard.
Regional pain. Did you say complex?
Complex regional pain syndrome, yeah. Because it used to be RSD, reflex sympathetic dystrophy, which was a little more tongue-tying. But anyway.
Well, there was type 1 and type 2 of CRPS, and type 1 was reflex sympathetic dystrophy, and type 2 was a thing called causalgia, and they were just dumb names. So mm-hmm. they
combine
them. They call them complex regional pain syndrome 1 and 2. But anyway.
So this is a really challenging thing. And I guess the best way to describe this, and I think why there's the research that they've done a lot of research on now, doing these ganglion blocks for PTSD, is because. And a lot of people, and you know this, and I know this, doing pain medicine, but if you've never had this unfortunate experience, or if you're not in medicine, you don't treat it. You know, we see a lot of people with what we call upregulated systems.
Right.
So their whole sympathetic nervous system is just really
hypervigilant, and their adrenaline's
anxious,
going all the time.
Hypervigilant, anxious, and nervous, and
correct,
and just really hyperreactive to everything, touch, sound, everything.
Right.
And we see that a lot of times after somebody's had a traumatic injury, like, and it can be anything from falling, falling off a roof or being hit by a car to, just witnessing something.
Right.
You know, something really horrific.
Yeah, I had PTSD from witnessing somebody trying to break in my house.
Yeah, so yes, it can be anything.
Cold, just no reaction whatsoever when I caught him. Turned around and walked out. And I was like, oof.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that
messed me up.
that is extremely frightening.
I walked through the streets of Chapel Hill for a couple of years, just thinking to myself, everywhere that you fools everywhere you're walking, murderers and criminals have, you know, have walked these same streets. You all have this illusion of safety, and it's just an illusion. And anyway, finally, I got that under control.
Well, I think what you're saying is it took a while to get it under control is very important, because you can't. There's no great pharmaceutical therapy.
Correct.
There's no great non-pharmaceutical therapy.
Correct.
You know, this has to be a physical, a cognitive, emotional, and a pharmaceutical therapy. All these things combined to help treat a PTSD or someone that's got this upregulated system. So, and what we found is that people who are really, really upregulated, it's very difficult to break that cycle of pain. And and what they're showing with these ganglion blocks is, and a lot of times you'll see people do ganglion blocks to diagnose a CRPS. So in other words, like especially in the lower legs, they'll do a ganglion block in the lower back, and it shuts the pain off instantly. Instantly, the pain comes back. But what we're hoping is over time, if you can do some of these blocks in addition to other therapies, you know, and it may be physical therapy, it may be occupational therapy, it may be acupuncture, it may be cognitive behavioral therapies, all these things can be extremely beneficial, but they need to be used in conjunction with one another. But the benefit of this ganglion nerve block is that it's almost, Dr. Steve, it's almost instantaneous. And it's a teeny, super teeny needle. It's a needle just a little bit larger than a diabetic needle. But and if you've ever had any kind of lidocaine or anything like before a procedure, stitches or whatever, it's about that size of needle.
Really?
And because what they use is typically something like a lidocaine, bupivacaine, marcaine kind of numbing agent, and they just literally squirt it beside a nerve. And it numbs that nerve, and it's almost instantaneous.
What if I can learn how to do that?
Oh gosh, yeah. With your anatomical knowledge and your gifted hands, I'm sure. There's no doubt in my mind you could do it.
I wonder what their hypothesis is for PTSD, though.
Well, that's kind of the surprise to a certain degree, and then not a surprise. The fact that this ganglion block will actually reset everything instantly. So it helps the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems balance out a little bit.
Well, that's interesting. It says here that stellate ganglion blocks may help PTSD due to decrease in nerve growth factor levels, which is what you're talking about, is resetting.
Yep.
Reducing norepinephrine levels, which is also known as noradrenaline. It's first, you know, cousin to adrenaline, and increased sympathetic nervous system activity that happens with PTSD. So that would speak to your reset of that sympathetic nervous system. Now it says U.S. Food and Drug Administration hasn't approved stellate ganglion blocks for treatment of PTSD, but healthcare providers may use them, quote unquote, off label for PTSD. Fuck off. There's no labeling for a procedure.
No. Not like this, though.
This is incorrect. This is very misleading. It's not off-label because there's no label. If I write, okay, so let's say there's a drug, gabapentin, 20 years ago, and it's a seizure medication, and it's only indicated for seizures, but I use it for neuropathic pain, the pain that's associated with damaged nerves.
Mm-hmm.
That's off-label. If I prescribe the I word, which is, you know, indicated in humans for parasites and some other conditions, but I use it for an RNA virus, then that would be an off-label thing. I'm allowed to do it, but I don't need the FDA to tell me whether I can do these or not. I can stick a needle anywhere I want to,
as long as I'm willing
to accept the consequences.
That is true. That is very true.
So it says here, more recently, researchers have been studying the use of stellate ganglion blocks for other mental health conditions, including depression, anxiety, and psychosis. Oh, give me ketamine any day. So anyway, it says here, you lie on your back on a procedure table. They'll use a thin needle to inject a local anesthetic into your neck near your voice box with an ultrasound or fluoroscopic imaging guidance. Mm-hmm. Your provider will insert a second needle, carefully inject an anesthetic medication. So are they actually looking for the stellate ganglion with that? I mean, can you see it on ultrasound?
Yeah, that's what they do it like that.
I'm going to take a class.
Yeah, fluoroscopy is okay, but you know, fluoroscopy's got radiation.
Radiation, that's ridiculous. And there's ultrasound.
Yeah, an ultrasound's way more effective. And it's something you can do in a normal outpatient clinic. I mean, it's a bedside thing. You lay somebody on their back and get them really comfortable, and it's
Well, you know, I've been thinking about
just literally takes 5 minutes.
Starting a clinic where we can treat some of these things with drugs that typically aren't used. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go to any provider and get Prozac or Cymbalta, but if those things failed you, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. So, ketamine.
Typically, they'll put them on another antidepressant.
That's correct. And they just keep going. Yep. So, you know, I failed on SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors like Paxil, Zoloft, and Prozac. Mm-hmm. And then I failed on the SNRIs, the selective serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors.
Okay.
And that's like Cymbalta and, what's the other one? Prestique or whatever.
Prestique, yeah.
And then I also failed on bupropion, which is a different antidepressant. Never tried Trintellix. But because I failed on all of those, I couldn't tolerate them, and they didn't really do anything for me. That's what qualified me to start something alternative like ketamine. Well, I'd like to have a clinic in place so that when we finally do have the ability to write microdosed psilocybin, that we'll have a mechanism ready to, you know, start prescribing it. And we're going to have therapists and do all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I could do stellate ganglion block, heck, you know, a non-pharmacologic treatment for PTSD, I would love to do that. So I'm sending this to myself to remind myself to see if I can find a class somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff there.
Yeah.
You know, in any of those really complex pain syndromes, complex psychological issues, they rarely respond to just a single thing.
Agreed.
Rarely.
Talk therapy plus medication is better than either one alone.
Right. Yeah. Talk therapy, physical therapy, all of the therapies combined a lot of times is really what you need for the really challenging cases.
I'd like to have a comprehensive center where we did meditation and do all that stuff, at least teach people how to do it. Or, hell, sell them a damn Oculus with the Trip app on it. I mean, why not?
You could, but then again, there's you do miss the person-to-person contact.
Well, I'm saying as another
thing. As an adjunct.
Not just by itself.
Okay, yeah. As long as you got in a really comprehensive clinic, I think it'd be great.
Yeah, we'd have to have a PhD therapist.
To lead someone through the counseling,
they do group
cognitive
or
behavioral therapies. Yep. No, I think it sounds good.
Yeah, I'm big on cognitive behavioral therapy. That helped me a lot.
Shoot, yeah. Yeah, and it is. And you never know what's going to set you off. You never know what's going to trigger you. And I always tell people that the number one thing you need to not do is compare yourself to others. And if it upsets you, then it upsets you.
Right? Other than to know that other people have gone through
this. They've gone through the same thing, yeah.
My anxiety was so bad, I would curl up in a ball. I almost didn't get to go to medical school because of this.
Oh, wow.
But there was some, I don't consider myself to be all that strong of a person, but there was some reserve of strength in me that I had that made me go to work every day and made me challenge the anxiety because I didn't want it to be in charge of me. It's like, you know, it's just the same thing like when you're driving down the mountain and your brain says, okay, it's time to sleep, and your eyes start to close. It's like, why are you trying to kill me? I thought we were on the same side.
Yes, it doesn't make sense at all.
The anxiety thing's the same way. Yeah. It's like there's a part of your brain that's like fight or flight constantly. It's like there's nothing going on right now. Stop it. But I had to do challenge therapy. My anxiety was so bad. I'm not kidding you. I contemplated checking myself into an asylum somewhere.
Sure, sure.
But I wasn't psychotic, so they wouldn't take me. Or, you know, jumping off a cliff.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was. And but I think I told the story of how I finally got cured of the majority of it. But I just kept challenging it. I went to work every day because this is what happens. You have a panic attack when you're at the movies, so you stop going to the movies. Right. Then it happens at the grocery store, you stop going to the grocery store. And then it happens going out and getting the mail, so you don't go outside anymore. And then the next thing you know, you're confined to one room of your house. And even there, you're
still miserable,
not comfortable.
Yeah.
So the one thing is not giving into it. So I went to work every day. I did things that palpably made me uncomfortable, like going to the movies or being in crowds. And I was in therapy too. And I also found that there was a medication called Combid, which was prochlorperazine, which is compazine plus something else. I can't remember what was in it. And they used it for nausea, but that was one of my symptoms. And when my brother actually gave it to me.
Okay.
And when I took that first one, it all went away.
Wow.
And I realized at that minute that it could go away. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of recovery for me. And so I went to the North Carolina State Fair in Raleigh. And my love of fireworks eclipsed my fear of crowds. Mm-hmm. So I went there with my wife at the time. And it had rained for like 5 days, so they didn't get to do the fireworks. So it was the last night of the fair, and they shot off all the everything at once. It was the greatest fireworks finale that you could ever imagine.
Wow.
And I was totally blown away by it. But I knew I was going to have a problem, because anytime I had a good day, it was followed by a bad day. Like if I laughed a lot with a friend, I knew the anxiety was coming. And on the way out of the fairgrounds, they just had one sort of chain link door, and 10,000 people trying to get out of the same door.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in the middle of this vast sea of people, which was my worst thing, was crowds. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't move. I mean, it was shoulder to shoulder. We were not moving. And
that's
my
awful.
Wife looked at me, and she said, "Are you okay?" And I went, I'm going to have to be. And at that moment, my brain realized I either have to die right now or I got to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And weirdly, after that, I got better. And now, it was still, I'm not saying it just went away.
No.
But I could feel it ebbing away.
Yeah.
To where, for a long time, I still couldn't walk in front of a open window. If it was bright on the inside, dark on the outside, I couldn't see what was out there. Even that went away. So, you know, if you are having this problem right now, if you're having panic attacks or PTSD, it can be cured. You don't have to live like this the rest of your life. But it took a shitload of work on my part, and it took not giving into it. And again, I'm not talking like, oh, I was such a tough guy or whatever. There was just something in me that just wouldn't let it win.
Yeah.
You know? Get help.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to treat, though.
Yeah.
It really is a tough thing to live through.
Doesn't mean you're weak. It's your brain is rebelling against you for whatever reason.
Yep.
I don't know why. I don't have an answer for that.
Well, I think sometimes it's like a virus, like an opportunistic virus. I think there's something gets in that gets
brain
into
virus.
You, and all of a sudden it's an opportunistic thing. It's like, hey, right now is when you panic. Before, this is a really good time to panic even more.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh God, maybe I should panic right now. And then it's a cycle that's just really painful.
You may be onto something there, Dr. Scott. There are computer programs that optimize their own ability of their coat to pass on to the next, you know, processing cycle.
Gotcha. Like,
some of them are viruses. Some of them are games, like the game of life, stuff like that. And it may be that there is some advantage inside the brain to some of these circuits firing, and it causes them to fire more because they see that as an advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because they're proprietary, or they, you know, it's a turf battle inside the brain. Who knows?
Yep.
But those circuits are they want to fire because somehow that gives them some sort of advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's
fascinating.
Yeah, we'll have to look it up, see if anybody's done any really thoughtful research on it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, not just medicine research.
Right. Yeah. Well, anyway, so stellate ganglion block, pretty interesting. All right, you got anything else?
No, that's the main thing.
You didn't even bring that. I brought it. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
All right.
I helped a little bit.
Yeah, you did. No, you did. You helped a lot, but particularly while I was coughing. My stupid bronchiectasis, this is COVID-related from 2021, still kicks in every once in a while. And then I get this histamine release, and my nose runs, and I sneeze, and it's just a nightmare. The people on the YouTube channel had to witness it. The people listening to this after I edit it won't happen.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Have to.
No, thank goodness.
Anyway. All right. Well, let's do this one.
Cool.
Dr. Steve.
Yes.
Sorry. I have another question.
Yeah.
So,
okay, well, we didn't hear the first one, so you're fine.
My friend, she doesn't get the flu shot every year.
Okay.
Because one time she got the flu shot, and it got her sick. The flu shot got her sick. I said, you know, Dr. Steve, we talk about you all the time. Dr. Steve doesn't believe that. He says he believes that you probably were getting sick, already had the flu virus, and it just, once you got the shot, it kicked in, you know, rather the virus came to fruition or came to full, whatever, and you got sick because of that.
Okay, so, yes, we'll go through that just for her. We've done it multiple times on this show. But the other thing is, he didn't say she got the flu. He said that she got sick.
Mm-hmm.
You can get sick after having a flu shot. There's no question about that. Adverse reactions to. But what you can't get is influenza.
Mm.
So if she's saying, I took the flu shot, and then 3 days later I got influenza, that is temporarily may be correct, but the cause and effect is incorrect. The flu shot didn't cause it. The typical flu shot that is given to people are killed. I mean, they were never alive. They're just chunks of antigens tapped onto some sugars and stuff like that. And we inject these, and the body makes an immune response. And the reason you have to do it every year is because the stupid virus mutates. So what they do is, in the northern hemisphere, they look at what's happening in the southern hemisphere and then assume that it's going to come here relatively unchanged. And then they make real quick, make the vaccine. Now, sometimes they're wrong. Yep. One year, the flu vaccine was only 6% effective against getting influenza. It was still very effective against dying from it.
Oh, good. Good.
So that's the key. So if, you know, if it's a killed, sorry, not, it's not even killed. It was never alive. It's just chunks of antigens. Then it is not possible for you to get influenza from that because there's no flu DNA invading your cells and then recreating itself. So what normally happens when someone gets influenza after taking the flu shot is they were exposed to influenza, say, on Saturday. They get their flu shot on Tuesday, and then Wednesday or Thursday they come down with influenza. They go, see?
Some bitches.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing that a lot of people get, especially after those vaccines, is a big histaminic response. So they'll feel like they've got the flu because they've got flu-like symptoms.
Correct.
They've got aches and pains and maybe a slight fever and a really fatigue. But that's what you're supposed to, or not supposed to, but that's not uncommon after any vaccine.
It just shows that your body's mounting an immune response.
Yeah, it's and you know what they talked about, or I've heard people speak of, is that the more robust a response is to a vaccine, the better your body's going to fight it off in the future.
Well, yeah, which makes sense,
right?
So yeah, tell her that, and it's a form of bias that you know, where two things look like. They happen temporarily. They happen at the same time, but they're not related causally. All right?
Right on.
Very good.
Cool.
Get your flu shot.
Great sweat.
Oh, here's his other question I see. Now
I Hi, Dr. Steve. Hey. I have a question.
Sure.
I don't take Xanax, but I take Zoloft. I take a lot of Zoloft. I take like 75 milligrams.
That's not a lot.
I don't know if it's once or twice a day. I can't remember. I always take it once a day at least.
Okay.
But, now, and is Zoloft, I know Xanax is a benzo.
Correct.
Zoloft supposedly isn't a benzo.
That is correct. So Xanax is alprazolam. Mm-hmm. That is in a class of drugs called benzodiazepines. Mm-hmm. Those are what they used to call minor tranquilizers.
Okay.
In other words, they're really good for anxiety.
Yes.
And they're good for sleep.
Yes.
They have sedative properties.
They're great before MRIs.
Yeah, they're really good before
MRIs. For some of us.
Zoloft is an SSRI antidepressant. So selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. They work by completely different mechanisms. Yeah. So, okay.
The Zoloft really fucking helps. Like, good. I don't get pissed off and want to beat the shit out of people. You don't hear
good. That. Yes. And the thing is, if Zoloft helps with your anxiety, it's not, well, there is a mild withdrawal syndrome, but it's not addictive the way that benzodiazepines are. You can have benzodiazepine addiction where you crave the medicine. You take it for non-medical purposes, despite the, you know, beyond the point where it's doing you harm. Zoloft won't have that. If you stop it suddenly, you may go through withdrawal, but it's a milder withdrawal, and it's not life-threatening like benzodiazepine withdrawal can be, and it's usually 1 to 2 weeks. I had it when I quit Cymbalta suddenly before I realized you had to taper off these things.
Yeah.
But the easy thing is, if you ever want to get off the Zoloft, you just have them give you a taper. But
just taper it down, okay.
Don't hear me screaming. Like a Joey C, like a maniac.
Okay, yeah, let's leave Joey C out of this. I don't know. Joey C is
poor Joey C
is in the
whoever he is.
He's in the Dabbleverse. I don't know much about him, but this guy's calling him a maniac. I did not call you that, Joey C. That was this guy.
I don't drink at all, so. But I take Percocet. I take oxycodone, whatever this shit is called.
Yeah, it's Percocet is oxycodone, which is an opioid. And in combination with Tylenol or acetaminophen. And it's usually comes in 5 of oxycodone with 325 of acetaminophen or 7.5 or 10, but it's always with 325 of acetaminophen.
Mm-hmm. I take 10 milligrams up to 4 times a day. I never take 4 a day, but usually about 2.
Okay.
But I have it up to 4 times a day. And because of that and the Zoloft, they're saying that my medication for the pain medication needs a prior authorization every single month. And this dumb bro, this very nice female doctor lady will not write a 90-day prescription. So every single...
Well, you can't. So oxycodone is a Schedule II drug.
Okay.
Can only be written in the United States for 30 days at a time. You can write 3 different ones. That is legal. You can write up to 90 days, but you can't write a 90-day supply. You can write 1 month, so he takes 4 a day, up to 4 a day, so he get 120 tablets. The next month, he can get 120. The next month after that, he can get 120. You can give him all 3 of those prescriptions at once as long as they have today's date and the future fill date.
Okay. Gotcha. That makes sense.
So today is October 7th, so I would give him a prescription for 120. And then on November 6th, they would have the next one, and then December 6th or 5th or whatever, they would get the third one, each one for 120, dated with both of those days on it.
Single month, she sends in a refill for it, or every probably 5 or 6 weeks, she sends in a refill for it, and... I have to call the pharmacy because I don't get it.
Because your insurance is requiring prior authorization. This is an insurance problem.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I don't know what kind of insurance you have, but your insurance is requiring prior authorization every single month. One of the reasons that they're doing that is to keep doctors and other healthcare providers from just writing it on and on and on without thinking about it.
Okay.
If they have to fill out a prior authorization, then they have to at least think about it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of those providers have somebody in their office that does the prior authorization, but they still have to say, go get a prior auth on this person.
Right on.
And they say, oh, you need a prior authorization.
Right.
Every single...
Right, and you know that. So just make sure they do it when they send the prescription in.
Yep.
Month. Why is that? Is there, I don't drink... I don't use any...
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with you. It's your insurance company is doing this. And you could ask them.
Mm-hmm.
You could call your insurance company and say, seriously, why are you requiring prior authorization every single time? And they'll say, well, that's our policy because it's a Schedule II. And if that's the case, then you don't have much wiggle room except for changing your insurance, which for most people is not an option.
Not a great idea.
Street drugs. Is there any, issue with the... taking the pain medication and the Zoloft at the same time? Now, I do take
not really
pain medication every single night.
Okay, that's okay. And it sounds like your provider is doing all the right things. Talk to your insurance company. See why they have instituted this policy. If they are singling you out, you may be able to get them to change that because maybe their algorithm, it's just like the YouTube algorithm. Very often, deplatforms people for the wrong reason. You have to go appeal it. So, but that's who you need to call. This is not a pharmacy issue. It's not a provider issue. It is purely an insurance issue. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Good questions, both of them. All right. Let's see.
Oh, hey, Dr. Steve. This is John Melendez.
No, it's not.
You probably know me as a world-famous stuttering John.
Okay, I do know John, and this is not he, but let's see if there's a medical question in here.
Today's my birthday.
Oh.
And
that is true. John had a birthday recently. Happy birthday, sir.
I'm 55, although I look 40. And if I drink 27 beers a day, how old does that make my liver?
Yeah.
What do you think? 28, 29? Because it gets a good workout. All right. Oh, what's Cardiff's real name?
What's Cardiff's real name? Yeah, it's Mr. Electric. I don't know Cardiff's real name. No one does. It's a mystery.
Well, it was Diffic. Yeah. I thought it was Diffic.
What? No, I don't know what you're saying. I'm taking a bell away from you. Ah! Dr. Scott's not into the dabble verse, no, so when he takes a stab at it, he doesn't know what the hell he's saying.
No, I've got no clue. Sorry, guys.
I'm not
a dabbler.
It's starting to overlap into our show just a little bit. That was not Stuttering John. Do you know of a calculation that you can do for liver age depending on how much you drink?
No, but let me look that up.
Yeah, that'd be good. It would have been good if you'd done that while I was playing the phone call, but that's okay. You're not PA Lydia. It's fine.
Oh, for fun's sake. No, I'm not.
But the liver has to metabolize lots of things. It is the chemical factory of the body. And there are drugs that pass through the liver, and then they're converted to the actual drugs. So we'll call that a prodrug that you take, and then it's converted into the actual drug. And then when it's further broken down, we'll call those molecules metabolites. And ethyl alcohol goes through a couple of stages, and one of those is to be converted to acetaldehyde. And there are some people that cannot metabolize it further than that. And those are people that when they drink, their face turns red and they feel like shit. And they really just can't drink because they can't metabolize alcohol properly. And then the next, there's another phase. Another phase, well, it causes a lot of stress on the liver. Not completely dissimilar to what acetaminophen does to it. I mean, you can kill yourself if you take too much Tylenol because the liver can't handle it, overwhelms it. And after a while, you can cause so much inflammation in the liver from drinking that you get a thing called cirrhosis, which is just scarring of the liver tissue. And if you stop drinking soon enough, you can reverse it or at least stabilize it to the point where it doesn't bother you. But everybody's different. Some people can drink their whole life and get knocked down, wiped out, drunk every single day in and day out, and never get cirrhosis. Mm. And then you have other people that I've seen, whether, 30 years old, they've only been drinking for a year, and they've already got end-stage liver disease. There are other things that you can get from chronic alcohol abuse, and one of those is a thing called Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome. Someone was on line trying to make that argument about John, and I don't agree with that. I've never examined John, so anything that we say would just be hypothesis, but I don't see any history or any signs of Wernicke-Korsakoff. For the people who have been around for a while, Lady Di or Diana Urbani, I'm most likely has Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome. It's a dementia that's caused by prolific drinking, and it comes from a lack of certain nutrients in your diet. And we normally see that in people that drink to the exclusion of everything else. So anyway, John's never asked me for any advice about his health, and all we know is what we see. And so I only answer things hypothetically. This didn't have anything to do with him. Just in general, that's what happens to some people when they drink a lot. And I am not making any comments about him whatsoever because I really can't. How can we do that? I mean, we just see what we see on the internet. It doesn't, but I don't want anybody to be ill, particularly if it's preventable. But anyway, we all got to live our own lives the way that we live them. But anyway, all right. Okay, let's see.
Hi, Dr. Steve. I just listened to the episode, sorry, two episodes behind, but I listened to the episode with bacteria.
Yeah.
And how you said it was the same as in yogurt that it is in the woman's vagina.
Correct. What I said was that it's proof that our creator has a sense of humor, because the same bacteria that make yogurt is the same bacteria that makes a healthy vaginal wall. So...
So in theory, would it be possible, because I know to make yogurt, you need milk and you need to heat it, treat it, but you also need to introduce some type of bacteria.
Right.
So in theory, could you take a swab of a female vagina and then introduce that into the milk to make your yogurt, homemade?
Sure. I wonder if anyone's ever actually done it.
Somebody has.
Probably done it with breast milk, too, which is just even more gross. But, I mean, just that somebody's just doing, you know, using human parts to make, or human secretions to make stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, in theory you could. But now, there's not just lactobacillus in the vagina, though. That's the thing. You'd have to isolate just the lactobacillus. Scott, look that up and see if anyone has ever made yogurt from vaginal secretions. I'm just very curious if someone has done that. Let me finish this guy's
call. Sure.
Made yogurt? And who knows? Maybe it'll turn into a health food trend like eating placenta.
Okay,
anyway, love to hear the answer on that one.
Well, you know, that is funny. You know, with Gwyneth Paltrow pushing vaginal steaming and stuff, why couldn't we just push vaginal yogurt? Did you find anything?
Not yet, but I am looking.
Hey,
give me a minute. Help. I'm trying to.
We don't have a minute. That's the whole point. All right. Yogurt. How are you searching for it?
I was looking at can I make yogurt out of vaginal juices?
Okay. All right. Carl loves that. Okay. Using vaginal fluids to make yogurt. Here you go.
There you go.
Lactobacillus is a class bacteria responsible for transforming milk into yogurt. Same class bacteria lives in vaginal fluid. Bacteria can be cultured and grown overnight and then inoculated with milk and incubated. And here, med students makes yogurt using her own vaginal bacteria. Bay Area natural food enthusiasts may not even be able to handle this recipe. A med student has come up with a way to make yogurt with her own vaginal secretion. Well, she's trying to prove a point. Cecilia Westbrook, an MD PhD student at University of Wisconsin, and her friends wondered why there are so many semen-based recipes and nothing on Google about cooking with vaginal juices. Oh, no. Yes. You're being discriminated against. Yeah. Westbrook knew most common bacteria in healthy vagina is lactobacillus. That's the same bacteria found in yogurt, cheese, and dairy products. We'll make cheddar cheese out of it. Then you've really done something. She chronicled her findings in a blog titled How to Make Breakfast with Your Vagina. Yeah. Okay. I can think of another way, but that would be... Anyway, Tacy's not here to tell me to shut up. She grabbed a spoon, a pan, a candy thermometer, set out to create yogurt from her vagina, the ultimate locally sourced cuisine. Well, okay. There you go. Okay, she harvested healthy vaginal fluid using a wooden spoon. A wooden spoon! It's all dry and weird. Get splinters. And she did a taste test. She described vaginal yogurt as sour, fresh, and tingled a bit on the tongue. Reminded her of Indian yogurt, and they ate it with blueberries. Well, good for them. I think that's awesome. There's your answer.
All for it. There you go.
All right, Dr. Scott. Well, I think we ought to just wrap it up. I don't think we can top that today.
Sounds good to me, Dr. Steve. That's pretty good stuff.
Check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. Please don't forget stuff.drsteve.com. Thanks for everyone who made this show happen over the years. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103. You can listen to it over the satellite, but the best way to listen to it is on demand. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website, drsteve.com, for schedules, podcasts, and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Thanks.